action says producer one, and producer two also says action. Now, if you can see, producer two is he's a little sad. He's missed everyone. He's a little bit teary-eyed right now, and he's even crying because he missed everyone so much. It's been a long time since we have had a road to Paris, and I'm going to hand producer two off back to producer one. And welcome back, everyone. It's been it's funny because this off-season feels like it's been long and forever, when in reality, an off-season this short was kind of an aberration not all that long ago, where the last event was the Beach Pro Tour Finals in December, and now here we are, the first event of the 2024 season and the first event of the Olympic qualification cycle of this year starts tomorrow, if you're listening to this or watching this on Monday. Today, if you're watching it on Tuesday, or yesterday, if you're watching it on Wednesday, whatever it may be, Olympic qualification starts in Doha on Tuesday with the qualifier. So this is just going to be a preview, a bit of a refresher of where we are in the Olympic qualifying process. We have had one full season under our belts, beginning on Tuesday and this week with Doha. We will have 10 events over the next 14 weeks, so it is jam-packed with events, with travel. Every single continent is covered for the most part. We have Asia covered. There's China, and I believe Doha is kind of, Doha's Asia. I feel like it's on that mix of Europe and Asia. Sorry for my terrible geography. So we have Asia covered. We have South America covered. There are two challenges and Elite 16 in Brazil. There's North America covered. Two events in Mexico with an Elite in Tepic and a challenge in Guadalajara. We go over to Europe for Espinho, Portugal. I've already heard from actually a couple Sandcast viewers and listeners who are going to Espinho for that. I'll get you guys the info you need about where specifically it is, when I know. And then there we're going to Starja Blanki. We're bringing that back. That's always been one of the most popular stops on the schedule for a lot of the veterans who played there frequently. That's back on the schedule. And then it finishes with an Elite 16 in Ostrava, which is where it always finishes. So that is where the magic is going to happen in Ostrava for the final Olympic qualifying event of the year. And the deadline is June 9th. So these next 3 months are going to be an absolute sprint. It's going to be very fun to follow for everyone involved. Now, if you're looking for kind of a point refresher, I'd recommend you see my season ending Road to Paris recap. If you're watching on YouTube, just click the link right here. I don't know what corner on the screen it's going to appear on, but it'll appear somewhere. If you're listening and you missed that episode, just go back to the last Road to Paris of the year, and I'll give you a breakdown of where everyone is points-wise. Now, I had my brother-in-law, actually, he's a statistics major at BYU. I said, hey, man, is there any way I can get some objective empirical metrics on the probabilities and percentages of all the teams remaining in the race? What are the percentages and probabilities that they actually qualify? And so I'll go over those in a bit. But for the most part, this is just kind of a preview of what's to come. And one of the main questions that I had from listeners when I put out sort of what do you want to make sure I cover in this one is, what is the strategy for teams right now? So we have 10 events all over the place, right? So we go from Doha to Brazil, to Brazil, to Mexico, to Mexico, to China, to Brazil, to Europe for the last three. What do you do? Do you try to play all of them? That's something I talk about with my new team, Triborn and Came Shock, a lot, is that Tri knows that if he plays three events in a row, there's a drop-off if he were to play four in a row. And so to try to play all 10 would be extremely difficult, especially when you consider it goes Mexico, Mexico, China, Brazil, back to back to back to back. That travel is insane. And so to try to play all four of those in a row, I think is disadvantageous and sort of unwise, because you're not going to play at 100%. So I think the majority of teams will play in that 7 to 8 event threshold if they can get into the elites, if they're not guaranteed to get into the Elite 16s, which are the biggest bang for your buck in terms of points. I'd expect all of them to play as many as they can. That said, I would be surprised if a team played more than 8 events of these next 10, even though, because it's a trade-off, right? Where the more events you play, the more likely you are, the more shots you're giving yourself to earn medals, to earn points, to climb up the rankings, but the more events you play, the more burnout you're getting, the worse your legs are getting, the less training you're getting. And so there's sort of this balance of, do you want to play fewer events at a higher percentage of your capabilities, or do you want to play more events at a slightly lower percentage of your abilities? And there's no right answer. Everyone does things very differently. So it's tough with the strategy. The other main question that we got is, are teams going to stop playing once they have pretty much locked themselves into a spot? And to that, I would say no, because if you're an Elite 16 team and you're almost locked in at this point, there's only four Elite 16s prior to the cutoff. And so that's not enough where they're going to be burned out. I think that's actually the perfect number. I don't think that once teams have locked in, they're going to stop playing. I think what we'll see the biggest drop-offs are, I think the Stade and Vienna Elite 16s will be very light. Talking with Jordan Chang after Kelly Chang and Sarah Sponsel qualified for Tokyo, one of his bigger regrets is that they played Stade and then came in sort of undertrained prior to Tokyo. They weren't focusing on what he sort of wanted them to rep out and focus on. They're focusing on winning and competing. And that's one of the trade-offs that he would have taken back. And so I'd expect Kelly Chang and Sarah Hughes in this case to sit out Stade and Vienna. And I'd expect a lot of the teams to sit out Stade and Vienna because it goes Stade, Vienna, Olympics. And so Vienna, I would expect to be very, very light. And that's a good opportunity for any up-and-coming teams, any teams outside of the Olympic race, to get back in the Elite 16s and get those points. But in terms of the actual Olympic qualifying events, I'd expect them to remain fully loaded. What I would maybe anticipate is once teams get almost mathematically eliminated, that they will stop playing and then gear up for the Continental Cup. And the Continental Cup, I'll just give you guys a quick refresher on that process, is every continent is guaranteed one berth in the Olympic Games. So Europe, Asia, South America, North America, and Africa all get at least one men's team and at least one women's team. If your federation or country, in other words, has already qualified two teams, you do not participate in the Continental Cup. So the Continental Cup is only for federations who have not qualified two teams already per gender. And so for Europe, for the men, I would anticipate Switzerland to be a heavy favorite. Not a heavy favorite because Europe's so loaded, but to be a favorite because I don't think that they will have any of their top teams qualify via points. So I think they will have their top two teams ready to compete in that Continental Cup. Now, I'll get into the details of how that process works when it comes time to play the Continental Cups. But so I would expect, say, for example, if Sam Schachter and Dan Dearing, who we have on the podcast coming up in a couple weeks, if they have a couple disappointing finishes, I would expect them to compete a little bit less as the year goes on to gear up and make sure that they are primed to peak for the Continental Cup in June or July. I forget exactly when Norsekas is happening, but it's after that Ostrava deadline. Now, to get to those stats, so my brother-in-law, Garrett Springer, math whiz, statistics guy at BYU, and I asked him if he could, the first request I had of him is if he could find a way to let me know when teams had physically clinched, mathematically clinched their spot in the Olympics. And he said that that was almost impossible to do. And he's actually talking to a couple of stats professors at BYU. But what he was able to do was simulate the next 10 tournaments 1 million times. And the below results, now I'll have all of the probabilities at sandcastvolleyball.com. I'll link that in the show notes. But these are the ones that I was very, very interested in and wanted to point you out to you guys. So for the men, there are four teams who qualified 100% of the time. In a million simulations of the next 10 events, four men's teams qualified in 100% of those. Anders Moll, Christian Sorum, Nils Ehlers, Clemens Vickler, David Amon, Jonathan Helvig, Sam Kotafava, and Paolo Nicolai. Andy Benesch and Miles Partain are at 99.9%. Andre and George, 99.7%. Brouwer Musin, 99.2%. Adrian Carambola, Alex Rangieri, 98.6%. Adrian Gavira, Pablo Herrera, 97%. So there are 13 men's teams with 90% or above. Now, I didn't Sharpie all of those teams in my previous, but to me, they're virtual locks. Now, super interesting is that after you drop off that 90% threshold, the next best team is Julian Horrell and Alex Source at 68.2%. So those last four spots, that 14, 15, 16, 17, are still very open. And the ones that I'm super, super intrigued by, because a bunch of listeners said, I'm really curious about the races in deeper federations between the two and three teams in their federations. Now, for the United States, on the men's side, that's by far the most interesting, and I am biased. I mean, I'm wearing this USA Volleyball. I'm coaching a team in the race, and then the other two I'm good friends with. So Theo Bruner and Trevor Crabb, in a million simulations, so the next 10 events, they qualified for the Olympics in 56.7%. So they are quite heavy favorites over Chase Budinger and Miles Evans, who qualified in 20.6%. So that's still a very decently high percentage. Triborn and Kameshaw qualified in 7.9%. So they are decently heavy underdogs in Vegas. But the perpetual optimist in me would say that, you know, the Buffalo Bills midway through the season had a losing record. The Kansas City Chiefs had a brutal start. Statistically, they were not likely to end up where they were in the season. And the Chiefs statistically were not supposed to win the Super Bowl. And lo and behold, what they do, they won another Super Bowl. So Triborn and Kameshaw, I would put them at about the Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills early in the season when they're sitting on 500 records. Other interesting teams. So the Dutch Federation, Brouwer Musen pretty much sharpied in. The stats would back that up because they're at a 99.2% qualification rate. So it would take quite an aberration for them not to make it. However, Matthew Immers and Steven Vandeveld, they have a 24.8% chance. That's a much higher percentage than I would have anticipated because Stefan Bormans and Jörg de Groot, their points per event average is massive. They qualified in 55% of it. So that's that Dutch race is actually a lot closer statistically than I would have guessed. I'm still putting Bormans and de Groot. I'd bet the bank on Bormans and de Groot. Another very interesting one is Pedro and Guto. So they're about the equivalent of Try and Came. They have a 7.8% qualification percentage. They're trying to catch Evandro and Arthur, who are at a 90.8% statistical likelihood of qualifying. So Pedro and Guto, they need something big to happen. And in all these cases, they also need Evandro and Arthur to drop off and play poorly. So they need Evandro and Arthur to play poorly. Pedro and Guto need to play very well. And then those percentages will change. I'm still betting pretty heavy on Evandro and Arthur. And then my dark horses. So Sam Schachter and Dan Deering, they're playing fantastic volleyball right now. Try and Came had a couple practices with them last week. They had a very good finish at a little mini tournament in Hermosa or Manhattan Beach. Ended up winning, went 2-0 against Chase and Miles and Trevor and Theo. So they're playing very, very good volleyball. Now, if they don't qualify, which I don't really know either way. I don't like rooting against Sam and Dan. I'm not going to bet against them. I would put them as sort of a 50-50 coin flip between them and Cuba to win the Continental Cup. And then the other dark horse that I like, Hendrik Mol and Mathias Bernsten, they have a statistical probability of 4.1% to qualify for the Olympics. So all those numbers are fascinating. Now, before I get to the women, I have to give a big shout out, of course, to Waiakea. Waiakea and Volleyball TV. So again, we are working with VBTV and we're going to have clips to use as highlights for these. Sorry, I was a little distracted. I couldn't muscle through this lid. Ideally, we're going to have clips to put into these Road to Paris videos. I will be on the road with Try and Came quite a bit, so my time and bandwidth is going to be limited, and they are priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, down through 100, and then comes the Road to Paris roughly at 101. And so if I have the time to produce a very high-quality video, I will do so. If I don't have the time, it's mostly just going to be me chatting with you guys on camera, which you seem to enjoy last year. I'm hoping that I will have the time and bandwidth to put in some highlights. If not, hopefully we can get Frito. If not, that's going to be the deal. And so if that partnership doesn't pan out the way we had anticipated before I was scheduled to travel all over the planet this year, then apologies for that ahead of time. But you can get 20% off your VBTV subscription using SANDCAST20. It is case sensitive, so it's all caps, SANDCAST, and that'll get you 20% off your subscription, and it'll stay every time you renew. If you have that, you still get the 20% off. Now, for the women's probabilities, this is really interesting. Everything's really interesting to me. So the men only had four teams that qualified 100% of the time. And also for the men, just want to make sure we touch on Andre Perisic and David Schweiner. They have sealed up the top spot for winning the world championships. They're in. Same goes for Kelly Chang and Sarah Hughes. They are in. Now, the women, 100% of the time they've qualified. Anna Patricia and Duda, no surprise. Melissa Humana Paredes, haven't said that in a while, and Brandi Wilkerson. Xinyi Xiao and Chen Xu. Taryn Cloth and Kristen Nuss, who we have coming on the podcast on Wednesday, and I have maybe the best story I have ever written on them on Wednesday. That'll be up on volleyballmag.com. Please check it out and let me know what you think. They're just such delightful young women and great representatives for our country on the sport's biggest stage. Very excited for them. Raisa Schoon and Katja Stam, Tina Gradina and Anastasia Samoilova. I was surprised at that because they're still in qualifiers, but I'm not here to argue with the numbers. A million out of a million, it's a pretty high likelihood. And Valentina Gattardi and Marta Manigotti, they qualified in 100% of the time. Now at a 99.9%er is Carol and Barbara of Brazil. I know Denise Austin, my fellow commentator at Volleyball World, she's like, Agatha and Rebecca, don't count them out. The numbers agree with me that Barbara and Carol are sharpied in. Germany's Svenja Müller and Sinja Tillman, 99.8. Maria Ferrer Tacho, Talika Clancy, 99.6. Now, what's interesting is that the stats, I forgot to tell Garrett to take out Betsy and Julia, but their numbers, if you were to remove either Kelly or Sarah or Kristen and Taryn, which is what we have, or we took Kelly and Sarah out, they'd have a 97.5% chance of qualifying. That's how crazy, brutal, deep the USA Federation is that Betsy and Julia would be qualifying for the Olympics, no question, if they were in any other federation. Nina Brunner and Tanya Huberle, 94.4%. Now, just like the men, once you dip below that 90% threshold, it's a massive dip. So here's where it gets fascinating for the women. At 68.9%, is Daniela Alvarez and Tanya Moreno, TCU/Spain's young stars. The ones that I am most interested in these races, France's Lezana Placet and Alexia Richard, 66% chance of qualifying for the Olympics. And that's really interesting to me because their number two team, Aileen Shamro and Clemence Vieira, they are rooting so hard for Alexia and Lezana to qualify because then they will get the French wild card most likely as the number two team. However, if they don't qualify via points, that wild card will most likely go to Lezana and Alexia. And so France could have two women's teams in this Olympics, which would be so cool to have that in Paris. Now, the most interesting race by far, is the Verger Dupre sisters. They're within 20 points of one another. And there's Anouk Verger Dupre and Joanna Mader. They're at 46.4%. And then super fascinating is that Esme and Zoe, the youngsters, qualified in 50.4% of the simulations. And so they're neck and neck. Zoe and Esme are the betting favorites as per the simulation. So that's fascinating. The other two races that have a lot of intrigue to me are the Canadian women's race. So Mel and Brandy are locked in, sharpied, no question, 100% of the time they qualified. Sarah Pavin and Molly McBain qualified in 37.2% of these simulations. Now, if they don't, and if Sophie Bukovic and Heather Bansley, who qualified in just 0.3%, so very, very unlikely that Sophie and Heather will qualify, if Sarah and Molly don't qualify, then that's going to be a wild battle for that Continental Cup spot because you can only send one team. And so it's going to be between two very talented Canadian teams. We also have Sophie coming up on the podcast in a couple weeks. She'll follow up Sam and Dan. She's 3 weeks from now, I believe. The other one is the German race. So Sinja Tillman and Svenja Müller, sharpied, done, locked in. They qualified in a 99.8% of the time. So the battle for that second spot is between Lara Ludwig and Louisa Littman. They qualified in 29.9% of the 29.9% probability of qualifying. And then Germany's threes, Carla Borger and Sandra Ittlinger, they qualified 14.6% of the time. So statistically speaking, the Swiss women's race is the tightest, and then the Germans women's race is the second tightest. So those are the two that are the most interesting. And then it's really all eyes on Pavin and Molly for that Canadian spot. And if they don't make it, shoo, I am going to be very interested in that Canadian race. That is kind of my favorite, my most interesting ones. My favorite underdogs right now are the Klinge sisters of Austria, Dorina and Rania. They qualified in 7% of the simulations. And so they are have about the same shot as Try and Came. So that's, I'll have all the probabilities on sandcastvolleyball.com, maybe volleyballmag.com as well. And I'll try to update those as much as I can. Garrett is a full-time student at BYU, so he's going to get me the new probabilities as often as he can. Ideally, we'll have new probabilities along with every new rankings after every event, because I'm fascinated by that stuff, and I think it's super interesting. So if you want to find everyone's odds, if you want to check in on Haley Harward and Kelly Kalinske, 0.01%, you're not out of it, ladies. Just kidding, you're kind of out of it. But so Doha is this week, then it'll be a week off, and then we have the last 2 weeks of March are in Brazil, week off. Then we are in Mexico for two straight weeks, and then we go from Mexico to China, China to Brazil. Then we're off for 2 weeks, then we go to Espino, Poland, Ostrava, bam, that's your Olympic race. So again, I'm glad to be back on the road to Paris. And we're going to bring producer two back. He's happier now. He's playing with some balls. He had some lemons that he was playing with earlier. Come on over, buddy. Yeah. All right. What do we say on our sign-off, bud? Shoots.